Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the Alex Jones Show is on. We're going to move on from the Iran war to a bunch of other major news that's dropped recently. This is a former Pfizer toxicologist estimating the number of people that have died due to vaccine-related injuries in Germany alone. I'll read along here. This is the former Pfizer toxicologist giving testimony this week. Let's watch. He says Pfizer's post-marketing report spoke of more than 100 expected deaths within only 2 months after admission. At the latest, Comirnaty had to be taken off the market again. The Paul Ehrlich Institute received, if I'm correctly informed, so far 2,133 reports of death after Comirnaty. In these spontaneous reports, there is a high dark figure due to underreporting. The actual number is therefore much higher. In the USA, one assumes an underreporting factor of 30, with which the registered cases would be multiplied. For Germany, this corresponds to 60,000 deaths due to vaccination. 60,000. So again, they're extrapolating that, but they're basing it off of, you know, scientific process of numbers. In other words, they've done studies to show that only about 1 out of every 20 vaccine-related deaths is actually reported as a vaccine-related death. So again, they're not just saying, let's multiply this by 20 for fun. They're using what's been established as scientific fact in the U.S. and saying we assume it's about the same rate in Germany since we have basically the same systems in place. Now, if we'd ever actually get an investigation into this, 60,000 might be on the low side of things, especially if you take into account stillbirths and miscarriages, which absolutely skyrocketed through the roof immediately following the rollout of the jab. And so if you really understand what I'm saying here is that the vaccine rollout was in fact a gigantic crime against humanity and a campaign of mass death, and the people who did it should be held accountable like the operators of death camps were held accountable in the Nuremberg trials. We're still in a world where these people have so far escaped justice, including the censors who wanted to silence us for expressing the truth about the vaccine. Let's go into clip number 10 here. This is when YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki bragged about removing information about the vaccine. Let's watch.
When it comes to vaccines, vaccine hesitancy, videos that cause a public health risk, where do you want to see YouTube do better?
Well, first of all, we've taken responsibility very seriously. It's been one of my top priorities. And with regard to COVID and with regard to vaccines, that has been a top priority for us. And we have a number of different ways that we address that. So first of all, we want to make sure that if there's information that violates our policies, we came up with 10 different policies around COVID. Then if that's a violation of policies, then that's something that we'll remove. We removed over 1 million videos associated with COVID.
Have you talked to the Biden administration at all about vaccine hesitancy or vaccine misinformation?
Well, we did an event actually with the Biden administration, including President Biden himself, with a number of creators, Fauci as well.
I wonder if there's anything that you see in, you know, the way that anti-vaxxers behave on the platform, if there are any data or insights there that could be helpful to people understanding where they're coming from.
I mean, we try to understand what are the different ways that we can break through. So we talked about in this campaign that we did about getting back to the things that you love. So what we really tried to do was get not just from the experts, but also people that were not experts, but who were explaining, like, why did they take the vaccine? Why was that relevant for them? And what was their thought process?
So she's complicit in mass murder. That's what they're saying. It's like, how do we get into the psychology of figuring out, like, why people are vaccine hesitant? It's like, because it kills you, you absolute moron. That's why we're hesitant. The real psychology we need to figure out is why you people can't come to terms with that. We'll be right back, folks.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, Reverend, Reverend, please come quick.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of The Alex Jones Show is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'll be here with you for the remainder of the hour, and then Mike Adams, a health ranger, takes over from me. And you've got some great guest hosts in the fourth hour. We're going to talk a lot about domestic politics, domestic news here. There's a lot of insanity going on. I do want to remind you to support us. The only way that InfoWars stays on the air and in the fight is with your support at thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Your one-stop shop for InfoWars branded merchandise that will soon be unavailable and collector's items. So make sure to get anything branded InfoWars now while you still can. We also have massive sale on Ultramethylene Red, which is a total game changer if you've never taken it before. It's a rapid absorption liquid nootropic built to fire up your brain and body with bioavailable nutrients your system can actually use. This precision formula is designed to support methylation, mitochondrial energy, mental clarity and focus, synaptic growth, and long-term brain resilience. And you can get it now for a staggering 72% off, locked in for life as long as you are subscribed. So if you subscribe to Ultramethylene Blue and get your monthly delivery, not only will we make sure we have it in case we sell out, yours will still be available, but you're getting it for 72% off. However, that's only available for the first 1,000 subscriptions. So go now if you want to take advantage of 72% off Ultramethylene Red. You can also get the InfoWars Cooler Bundle. That's still available and on sale for $79.99. VIP members pay $63.99. So that's 60% off for regular people, for the peasants out there, the normies. But if you're a super special elite VIP member genius, then you get it for even less, for like more than half off, like 70% off or something. It's just, it's extremely affordable and well worth it if it was just the cooler alone. But of course, it comes with the koozies and the sunglasses, all branded with InfoWars, as again, these will not be around for very much longer. Okay, so I'm going to get into domestic news here today, or in this segment, and then I'll move on to sort of what's happening in the UK and Ireland. It's been a while talking to Rob Dew yesterday on the War Room about Ireland, but the UK is popping off again. Yet again, we see an instance of migrant brutal assault against the native British being covered up by and covered for by the police there. We'll get into that in just a little bit, but I have a rather disappointing, rather black-pilling update for you. Again, this is the type of news I don't even like delivering, because if you're like me, this will make your mood dark for the next little while. But we have just heard that charges have not been filed against the suspected individuals seen assaulting Turning Point USA journalist Savannah Hernandez. So despite these people being on camera plotting the attack, then carrying out the attack on an innocent person, not bothering anybody, and actually engaged in First Amendment protected journalism, assaulting her, giving her a concussion, and just, you know, brutally committing an act of terrorism against her, will not be charged. Apparently, Paige Ostrusko, Chris Ostrushko and Paige's boyfriend have been charged with just misdemeanors. Savannah is suffering from a concussion, two sprains, and multiple bruises as a result of the assault. Hernandez was assaulted by at least six people during Saturday's protest. Diana Ostrushko, the mother, has not been charged, even though the video appears to show her making physical contact with Hernandez and refusing to leave her alone. Additionally, the two women were seen assaulting Hernandez with sex toys. They have not been charged. The Hennepin County Sheriff's Office tells me there's still an active investigation. Yeah, they got to figure out. They got to, you know, try to figure out if what we're seeing right now on camera actually happened. I mean, did this actually happen or not? I mean, it is on camera. It did happen. But I guess they're pretending to try to figure that out. Again, very black. To me, like, I can't really say what I think about this, to be honest with you. I think I put it as obliquely as possible yesterday. Because, you know, there's stories in the past. Like, there's a story, I should have gotten the details. But before the Texas Revolution, William Barrett Travis, who would end up being the leader who died at the Alamo, doing that great last stand, long before that, he was imprisoned by the Mexican authorities on totally, trumped up charges. He hadn't done anything wrong, but they imprisoned him because they knew he was a threat to their power structure. And so the other Texans simply tied ropes to the jail door, tied him to their saddle horn, and ripped the door off the hinges and got Travis out. And now we look back, and what do we say? Oh, that was terrible. They should have let the justice system bear itself out. You know, they really should have trusted the system, and it was wrong because it was illegal what they did, breaking that man out of prison. No, we look back and we say it was an illegitimate charge. He didn't do anything wrong. This was a tyrannical government trying to crack down on the freedom of its people. They were wrong to do it. Him getting free was actually justice. I feel like we could use a little bit of that spirit. The point is, it's not up to the sheriff or the Soros prosecutor or a jury of radical leftists what reality is and what justice means. Like, they are not actually the arbiters of what is right and wrong. They can choose on a political basis to ignore a violent attack, but we are under no obligation to, I don't know, personally, I don't think we're in any obligation to accept their ruling as God's word. No, God actually exists. His justice is above human justice. I'm just saying, at a certain point, we have to ask ourselves if the justice system is even fit for purpose, and if not, what do we do about that? The Hennepin County Sheriff's Office tell me it's still an active investigation. They say our investigators are among the best in the state and are committed to a comprehensive, victim-centered approach. They work closely with the victim, review all available evidence, including videos, and interview witnesses to ensure every detail is examined. Okay, well, we did that already. I mean, it's all on video. You can watch it all from the beginning to the end. You can watch the people on the video when they don't realize they're being recorded saying, let's go get the whistle and go blow it in her ear as hard as we can. That would be premeditated assault, considering the fact that a whistle blown in somebody's ear can permanently damage their hearing and injure them for life. So people are posting the video where this woman is literally blowing the whistle in Savannah's ear as hard as she can, and Savannah puts her hand up and pushes the whistle away, and they're like, see, she assaulted first. Because again, they play these child games. They play these childish games of I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, when it doesn't even make sense. It would be one thing if you actually weren't touching her, but blowing a whistle as loud as you can in somebody's ear is assault. Like, what are you talking about? You blow up and go up and blow an air horn in somebody's ear as loud as they can, deafen them for life, and be like, oh, but I wasn't touching you. You're not allowed to stop me doing that. Literally trying deliberately to deafen. There's a person doing the Vuvuzela thing. That thing can get up to like 120 decibels. They're incredibly loud. So again, it's just Savannah told me that outside the initial report taken by the officer who ended up having to escort her to safety, no investigators from the sheriff's department have reached out to follow up with them herself. She adds that nobody asked her about her medical records or injuries. This is from Brianna Morello, and she says, I will be submitting this information on her behalf, even though it has not been requested. I'm telling you, folks, if anything ever happens to you, you better pray you have Brianna Morello as your friend. She does not let things go. I'm just saying, if anything ever happens to me, Brianna Morello is in charge of the investigation, okay? All right. She's an attack dog, and it's wonderful to see. So hopefully she'll get to the bottom of it. Hopefully there will be federal charges. Hopefully there will be state charges. But I'm not putting a lot of hope in that. And it really just is another instance, another reminder that at this point, functionally, violence against right-wingers is considered legal, essentially. And again, just brings up all the other stuff with Savannah talking about going to places and people finding out she works for TPUSA and immediately just going up being like, Charlie deserved it, and you're next. Like, just brutal and just remembering how even like normal, decent people that I know in my life were just like, yeah, well, Charlie Kirk, you know, maybe you shouldn't have said those things, you know? Maybe he deserved it. And it's just like, yeah, we got a real, like real sickness in this country that we gotta fix. And this story, I can't believe what I'm about to show you. The story, the headline, CBS News, Oswego School District 308 parents claim summer remedial program targets all minority students regardless of performance. Okay, we're going to go to a local news report here. And I guess I won't really intro it. And I'll just ask you if you interpret this the same as I do, because they're going for one thing in this news report, and yet I get a completely different interpretation of what's going on. This to me is like the insanity of the American culture as it exists now in perfect relief in a way that you just have to watch. You just got to watch clip 28 here. Let's watch the concern and the outrage about what this school district did. And then I'll tell you my interpretation on the other side. Let's watch.
Some parents in Southwest suburban Oswego are upset, telling the CBS News Chicago investigators all students of color were invited to participate in summer remedial programming by the district, regardless of how they're doing in school. An internal document we reviewed confirms those concerns. Investigator Tara Molina took their concerns directly to the district.
This is the letter School District 308 sent to some parents the end of last month, a selection and invitation for students to participate in the Summer Connections program.
It's a fancy title, a feel-good title, but what it realistically is it's summer school remediation.
Phil Torres's daughter is in advanced classes here at Hunt Club Elementary in Oswego. He says they were just told both of their daughters are on track.
My wife had reached out to some of our close friends in our neighborhood and asked, hey, did you get this email? And they said no, they had no idea what she was talking about. The only difference between our friends and us is they are white. And so my wife reached out to some of our friends that were minorities, and they said they got the email.
The Torres family immediately reached the district for clarification and transparency. Why were their kids being asked to participate? A partial internal document the CBS News Chicago investigators received via a source reveals the answer. Eligible and at-risk students include, quote, anyone with a race other than white.
That hurts. Excuse me. I fight for my kids. I fight against stereotypes. I have 3 degrees myself. I'm the first in my family to graduate college. And for them to do this, it opens up old wounds. And it hurts that if that's what they use, that anybody that's non-white is at risk.
In the days following the invitation, parents received emails from the district detailing the invitation aligned with, quote, federal Title I guidelines, and all students with various tags received an invite, like Torres's third grader.
And for her to have to overcome from her own school district the label just because her last name may be Torres or her skin may not be white it's traumatic.
I reached the district and the school board. Their response, again, heavily quoting Title I. Nothing specifically addressing the anyone with a race other than white verbiage, instead listing students in special programming, academically at risk, experiencing homelessness, and students, quote, who are part of a historically disadvantaged racial ethnic group. In a statement, the superintendent said, in part, quote, we don't believe labels define who our students are.
Okay, However, we can take it down. Okay, so that big bumbling crybaby, weeping about how this makes it feel like, what? Do you understand what actually happened here? What actually happened here is the Oswego School District decided to open up free summer daycare for non-white students. That's what actually happened here. So what it said is basically summer school is available. Yes, if you're remedial, if you need to catch up, then it's available for you and you might actually, you know, be required to go to it. But also, any non-white people that don't want to have to pay for summer camp or don't want to find something for your kids to do, they all get free daycare all summer. That's actually what this was actually a gift to everybody except for white people. Because think about it the other way around. Think about if every white person in the school district got a letter saying, we'd like to exclusively offer you a free summer school opportunity. We're not offering it to everybody, but you know, we really want you guys in particular to do well. So we're something we're giving to everybody, but for you, the people that we really want to succeed, we're giving you an opportunity to really get that next step up. And of course, you know, two parents working, it can be hard to figure out what to do with kids during the summer. So this way you don't have to hire a nanny. You don't have to send them to summer camp. We'll give it to you for free. So like, this is what I mean by sort of the perfect metaphor, the perfect example for like how insane America is today. This is a program deliberately and explicitly discriminating against white people, where they're openly saying that we want non-white people to do better than white people, so we're offering them something we're not offering to white people. Because again, they've just taken on and assumed and absorbed the lie that, you know, all white people are just automatically given a leg up in America, so we have to even the playing field by, you know, obviously discriminating against them. Just utterly backwards and ridiculous. But like, that was the purpose of this. That was the purpose of this. And somehow it gets transmuted into white people racist, white people bad. Do you understand what I'm saying? They have a program that's available for everybody except for white people to take advantage of. And then you have a Mexican guy literally sobbing on camera about how this reminds him of racism and anti-white racism because he's somehow interpreting it as the school district saying all the non-white people are dumb. It's like, well, obviously you are. It's like, obviously you don't understand what's actually happening here. You seem to be like incapable of taking emotion out of this and just seeing it for what it is, which is that they were offering you as a non-white person a benefit that they were withholding from white people. But you're so like, I don't know, your self-esteem is so low. You're like weeping and crying about non-existent racism because your race was given a gift that was withheld from other races. I'm not even kidding. A partial internal document the CBS News Chicago investigators received via a source revealed the answer. Eligible at-risk students include anyone with a race other than white. So it's like there's eligible students, and then in that umbrella, there's at-risk students. And there's non-white students. It's not saying the non-white students are therefore at risk. I know this is very complicated for somebody with 3 degrees to figure out. But yeah, they are literally offering free daycare and summer school explicitly because they're like, yeah, those white people, they'll be fine. The white people don't need help. The white people don't need a leg up. The white people don't need extra care and attention from the school district. so that they can maximize their potential. Their potential needs to be lessened and curtailed and stifled so that the non-white people don't feel as bad about themselves. So we're going to give them extra resources, provide them a bunch of free stuff and benefits that we withhold from white people, then the non-white people are going to cry and say that's racist. It is racist against white people. But we're fine. We're white, so we're great. We're great. Nothing can hurt us. Nothing bad can happen to us. We don't need benefits. We don't even need the, you know, basic benefits of the society that we live in. Those should all be stripped away from us and given to non-white people, because white people are just, we're practically gods on earth. We're like demigods. Like, have you ever seen Lord of the Rings? You know, the elves, they live forever and can survive anything. You can't poison them. They can see like 10 miles. Like, that's basically white. We're basically elves, okay? And we can't die and nothing can hurt us. And when we go away, we'll just get on ships and we'll go to the undying land and continue to live forever, because white people are just special angels like that. And we don't deserve consideration. We don't deserve, you know, help from the society that we built. We just need to be continually discriminated against and then blamed for racism because we're white, and white people can handle anything, folks. Anything. It's amazing. Just more evidence. Throw more evidence on the pile. Discriminate against us. Put your boot on our neck. You know, rob us of everything we've got. Convince our children to hate themselves. We're still going to win. We're white, okay? It's fine. Hell, you want to... This is what... It's like, you can try. We're still going to do it, all right? Look at this. A white high school girl named Mia Heller came up with a filter that eliminates 96% of microplastics from drinking water. So, what, you know, the last thing that you want is taking some high-achieving white genius like this and giving them extra resources. What you want to do is deprive her of resources, give them to the newly arrived immigrants who don't speak English so that they can maybe build their way up to, you know, something not at her level, obviously, but, you know, somewhere mid-tier. What you don't want to do is give resources and care and attention to the exemplars, to the exceptional, to the geniuses. You want to deprive them, crush them. They're white, after all. Okay? If, you know, if somebody come along and done the right thing and put this girl in a remedial class, deprived her of her access to resources, you know, made her go and whatever, be taught by somebody who's speaking a language she doesn't understand. If only they'd done the right thing, then it probably would have been a Hispanic girl that did this, okay? So, sure, you can celebrate this as an example of white excellence, of a white high schooler on their own volition doing something that apparently has escaped the capability of every scientist and the biggest corporations in the world. They've been doing something else. They have different concerns, apparently. We have to stop her. We have to stop them, okay? It's bad. It's bad because she's white, and it's that exact type of exceptionalism that we're trying to crush out of our society here. The district and the school board's response to concerns from parents and direct quotes from internal memo, again, heavily quoted Title I, which is a federal program, which means they're using federal money to discriminate against white people, which is illegal, but it will continue because despite literally saying, and it's funny because they're like, they didn't say any race other than white. Oh, no, no. They simply said people who are Black, African-American, Hispanic, Asian, American Indian, Alaskan Native, Native Hawaiian, or other Pacific Islander, Middle Eastern, Northern African, or two or more races. We never said not white. We just listed every race except for white. So that's different, I think. Pretty sure that's different.
CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is, scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public, that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. How's it put in the salt? IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your doc chamber's on. Medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. But I got blown up in Iraq. I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theelvishowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Please make sure you're following us on X. After all, we are not long for this world in our current manifestation. We are sort of our cocoon phase. We've been cocooned for a little while now. We were a happy, fat little grub for a while, and then we got hit with the bankruptcy. We've been in a cocoon for the last little while, and soon we will emerge reborn as a beautiful butterfly, perhaps some sort of deadly moth. We're not sure yet. But soon we will emerge from our carapace. Is that the right word? From our cocoon, and we will be bigger and better than ever before. But you got to know how to follow us. And I know this is hard for some people. I guess it's just how people's like media consumption works. No matter what happens in InfoWars, we'll be up and running the next day regardless. So, you know, if you need your Alex Jones fix at 11 a.m. Central Time, you'll get it. You'll be able to find it. But I was talking to a neighbor of mine, actually, who's a big InfoWars fan, and a couple years ago, like once we were kicked off YouTube, It's like a year or two after we'd been kicked off. And he was like, yeah, I just, you know, I miss seeing y'all. Like, I haven't seen y'all since you got kicked off YouTube. It's like, well, you know, you can go to band.video. And he's like, nah, well, I go on YouTube. And it's like, that's how a lot of people are. It's just like, well, if you're not on this platform, I guess you don't exist anymore. It's like, you gotta be able to find us. You gotta be able to search us out. Of course, it's not hard. Just go follow us on X at Real Alex Jones. And you don't even need to make an X account if you don't want. Just bookmark the page and go back and check it at Real Alex Jones. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. Follow me there at AJN Live. Follow at InfoWars and keep up to date and do share the links and you know, like the content. And that really does help with the algorithm. So thank you for your support, your prayers, your encouragement, speaking out in our defense when people lie about us. Because all we can do is tell you the truth and trust that you have the discernment to determine that. And of course, you support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. You support yourself as well, since we have the best products on the market at the best prices available. In addition to enormous, some would say comically large discounts, like 72% off Ultramethylene Red if you sign up for the monthly subscription. Of course, even more off if you're a VIP member. And soon, official branded InfoWars merchandise will be historical objects, collector's items, and no longer available for purchase. So go now if you want to get them, thealexjonesstore.com. So we have a bunch more domestic news. I do want to get to the UK, but like, let's just drop a few of these. So I talked to yesterday and have talked continuously since she got elected and even before about Abigail Spanberger, the CIA agent who pretended to be a moderate to get elected and immediately became a raging communist, passing the most inexplicable asinine laws you've ever seen, which we, you know, explained at the time. And this is one of the things about the modern world is there is no justifying what these people are doing. There's no reason for it. It's not helping anyone. Even things that you eventually could say are, you know, end up being negative, a lot of them start with like reasonable expectations or reasonable suggestions. Okay, you know, we don't want people to starve in America. Like, let's have a little bit of welfare. We'll keep people afloat. And then over time, it becomes this bloated mess where half the country is just living off of the produce of the productive half of the country. Things can go bad, but they might start with a reasonable premise. What is the premise for like letting rapists out of prison? Like, who is that helping? The rapist? I don't want to help them. What are we doing here? Like, who is asking for this? Who's begging for this? Who's sitting there going, gee, if only rapists were given cheaper bail, then the world would be right. Then America could succeed. So it's like you get elected as a moderate and you just do, and that's why I call it like the most asinine things you could possibly do that have no explanation and no justification, but they just do them. And the real problem is that a bunch of moderates, a bunch of normal people vote for this woman thinking she's going to be just a moderate Democrat. You know, hey, well, I like unions. I'll vote for the Democrat. And then, but if they're like kind of low information voters and just pick her because she seems nice, and then the media doesn't report on what she does. And so these people elect her, and then they watch the local news, and it'll be like, okay, and Abigail Spanberger signed a bill today, and everybody cheered, and then they move on. And they have no idea because they're not being told. The media isn't out there going, you know what Abigail Spanberger did today? You know who she's letting out of prison? Do you know what insane law she's put? You know, if you live in Virginia, you no longer get to vote for president. Your vote just is surrendered to whoever has the biggest, you know, population centers like LA and New York. They're like not even being reported on. So the people who voted for her who are low information can just think she's being a moderate. They aren't even being disillusioned. They aren't like, wait, I thought she was a moderate. Now she's passing all this crazy stuff. They have no idea she's passing this crazy stuff because the media won't report on it because they're a part of the cover up because they're also willfully engaged in this deceit. So here's the latest. From Abigail Spanberger at Governor VA, huge news for Virginia, L3 Harris, a global leader in defense technology and solid rocket motor manufacturing, is investing $1.27 billion to expand operations in Orange. Virginia's deep talent pipeline is ready to fill the hundreds of new jobs this partnership will create. The thing is, her husband runs the company. Adam Spanberger, lead software engineer at L3Harris Corporation. And of course, that's actually a context note on X. Governor Abigail Spanberger fails to disclose that her husband is the lead software engineer at L3Harris. So, you know, it's not just corruption in that she's ripping apart the very fabric of our society as governor. She's also making some change on top of it and giving contracts to her husband's company in just your classic old school corruption as well. Then we have this, where again, are the Republicans trying to lose? House advances bill to shield Haitian immigrants in defiance of Trump. House voted Wednesday to advance a measure that would reinstate temporary protections for Haitians living in the U.S., with six Republicans voting alongside Democrats to oppose a key component of President Donald Trump's immigration policy. So we have something like a tenth of the entire nation of Haiti living in America right now on temporary protected status that came with it an expiration. It was supposed to just end automatically. And we have to actually actively go and extend that temporary protected status. Then a judge came along and said, actually, we're not going to let it expire like it's supposed to. You have to let it keep going. 6 days ago, this is a Haitian man beating a woman to death in a random attack outside of a gas station. A mother. For no reason. But there she is. She walks out onto a street in America and is savagely beaten to death by one of these Haitians that we are now being forced to keep. Forever, I guess. Because temporary protected status is not temporary, actually. Although they are protected. And we actually look at the reality of temporary protected status. It's like Somalis have had TPS in America for like 35 years or something insane. It's not actually temporary protected status. It's literally just a foot in the door so they can stay here forever. It's what they label, you know, they label it with TPS to make people think, well, it's okay, it's just temporary. Well, it's okay that there's all these Haitians. It is temporary after all, but it's not temporary. So it's literally just a trick to get you to go along with it. Now, apparently, the ODNI, Tulsi Gabbard, has put forward request to have criminal charges laid against people engaged in the plot to impeach Donald Trump over Ukraine. And I haven't covered it very much. It's came out a couple days ago. It is just another "we told you so" moment. And that's kind of what makes it hard to discuss with any seriousness, because as soon as it happened, it was obvious what the real story behind the Ukraine impeachment about Trump was. And we told you at the time. So just one of these cases where we know immediately what's actually going on. Was not hard to figure out. It was all very public and evident, right? Donald Trump becomes president. He reaches out to Ukraine. He says, we've heard that Joe Biden is engaged in some corruption there. After all, he was literally on video saying, fire the public prosecutor who's going after corruption, or we're going to withhold $1 billion of aid. And son of a gun, he was fired. He's literally on video doing a quid pro quo operation using American taxpayer dollars as leverage to stop a prosecutor looking into the corruption that his son was directly implicated in. Okay? It's exactly the type of thing the president of America is supposed to look out for. He is the chief executive, and one of his primary roles is trying to make sure that people in our government aren't selling American power to foreign states for their own benefit, which is exactly what Joe Biden did. And so he reaches out to Ukraine and says, hey, we heard you've had some problem with corruption and this Biden character and his family and the, I mean, all of them, right? It's Pelosi and all of them. They all have kids that are working for Ukrainian gas companies. It's just obvious pay for play. So he calls and asks to look into that, and then immediately an impeachment charge comes up. From the incident that happened, we were like, oh, okay, got it. Makes perfect sense. They're being corrupt. They're making money and selling American influence in Ukraine. They don't want Trump looking into that, because I remember saying at the time, that's the Ukraine is the string with you pull, it unravels the whole sweater. So much of their corruption is centered in this spider nest of Ukraine, with the webs going into all these other different industries. They were desperate. And I remember saying at the time, because I kept saying this impeachment is a defensive move. The impeachment is not an attack on Trump. It's a defensive move to stop Trump from looking into what's going on in Ukraine. And it worked. And it worked. He started sending them weapons, because that was the whole thing, is they were saying Trump is now withholding weapons, so people are going to die because of, you know, his trying to go after Joe Biden and this political thing. I mean, they portrayed it very differently, and it scared him, and so he backed down. And then 4 years later, we get the Ukraine war. If he stuck to his guns and actually said, no, we need to know about the corruption, we need to know about how Zelensky's involved. I mean, we could have prevented the Ukraine war if he'd kept pursuing that line of inquiry, but he was scared off of it by the impeachment, which was the point the entire time. So then we have to wait 10 years, and then it's treated like a bombshell. No, it's been obvious this whole time. So, I mean, we'll talk about it, but it's like, I got new stuff to cover. I don't want to have to go back and talk about the stuff that we figured out 8 years ago. It's 2018-19, right? I know it was, because at the time that, because this was a dual, I mean, this was a coordinated, sophisticated, and orchestrated attack on Trump. Because at the very moment that Donald Trump was being hounded about impeachment, every day there were new headlines about new revelations and new scandal and all this sort of stuff. At the exact time that that was happening, the future DNI Avril Haines was meeting with John Hopkins for the Event 201 practice round preparing for the release of COVID-19. Because I remember I was like, what, you know, I just wanted to know what was happening. Like at the moment that this cabal of world leaders was doing the Event 201 simulation scenario where they were trying to figure out how the world would react if and when a respiratory virus arose out of Wuhan, China, and spread around the world, and how would we deal with messaging? And, you know, anti-vaxxers could be a big issue. How do we silence them before they get their claws in the minds of humanity? And so I wanted to know, like, okay, as that was happening, what else was going on? And you pull up and you can go to the Wayback Machine or whatever else, find that time period that Event 201 was happening, and every headline is Nancy Pelosi reveals new charges in Epstein, in Donald Trump impeachment. And it was just a total distraction for Donald Trump, another completely fabricated, non-existent scandal to distract him, to stop him from doing what he should be doing, which was going after Ukraine, or paying attention to the fact that a lot of the people around him and a lot of people of importance in America were getting ready to run a giant scam where they poisoned the entire planet and locked us down and destroyed Trump's re-election through mail-in voting. I mean, this was always the intent of all of this. It's not a coincidence that all these things are happening at the same time. Ah, yes, the procession, the holy and sacred procession of the fat dweebs and their utterly, utterly ridiculous and fraudulent thing. And like, they all know it's fake. That's what, I mean, it's just, this whole thing is just, there was never a genuine complaint. It wasn't an opportunistic hit job either. It was something far more deliberate, a coordinated effort. That's what the Federalist says. New documents revealed Democrats' plot to frame Trump with Ukraine call. After 7 long years, key documents surrounding the Ukraine impeachment saga have finally been released by the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence following Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard's declassification. They include previously unreleased interview transcripts with the Inspector General, as well as related materials. They tell a story many of us suspected at the time, but which now appears even more disturbing and more elaborate than we originally understood. The newly released documents show a coordinated effort to frame President Trump over a phone call with Ukrainian President Zelensky. A manufactured narrative was elevated and then used by Congress in an attempt to overturn the outcome of an election and effectively shape the next one by pursuing impeachment over a routine diplomatic exchange. Inspector General Michael Atkinson, who should have acted as a neutral gatekeeper, instead enabled the process by allowing a completely unverified third-hand and politically motivated complaint to move forward. A particular note is the timing. The call took place on July 25th, 2019, the morning after the disastrous congressional testimony of special counsel Robert Mueller, which effectively collapsed the Russiagate collusion narrative. Many suspected at the time that this timing was not coincidental. It was as if one hoax had collapsed and another was needed to take its place. The new material strengthens that view. And it goes on, and you can read about it. But again, you knew all of this already if you were watching InfoWars. Like, none of this is new at all. And of course, it's not a coincidence that Trump was framed as a Russian collaborator. That would scare him away from any communication with Russia whatsoever, because he didn't want to contribute to that lie, you know, the perception of that lie. Likewise, they didn't want him figuring out what was going on in Ukraine, because the plan was always to go to war with Russia over Ukraine, and Trump was interfering with that and could have put a stop to it. And so they launched the Russiagate conspiracy to try to keep him out of office, but at the very least associate him with Russia to scare him away from doing anything with Russia, and to keep that as a constant sort of nagging awareness in his mind. Then he tries to investigate Ukraine. They, of course, are deeply involved in the corruption in Ukraine, and the corruption in Ukraine is facilitating and in service of the overthrow of the duly elected Ukrainian government, the color revolution that basically placed Zelensky on the throne with the intention always of going to war against Russia. So this has always been obvious from the very beginning. And yet, I guess 7 years later, we're finally getting a hint that the truth is coming out. It's good to see. It's good to see. I'm not complaining. I'm just exhausted because it's been so damn long. All right. Epstein rape, Epsom, similar topic, different word, Epsom rape, gang rape. Everything we know as the attack on women sparks community tension. Large crowds of protesters were seen in social media footage throwing objects at officers holding shields following the attack on a woman in her 20s on Saturday. The demonstration, which has been promoted by Danny Tomo, a former associate of right-wing activist Tommy Robinson, called for police to release the descriptions of the suspects. So far, Surrey police have declined to identify the suspects, saying in a statement that it did not have enough information to do so. That, however, is a lie. We can go to clip number 13 here. Here's, again, people are like, it's shocking that the police are withholding this information. Are you shocked by this? Are you shocked by this at all? I'm sorry, where have you been the last 10 years? The least shocking part about this is the fact that the cops are covering up and lying about who the suspects are. Let's go to the video.
This is for the good people of Epsom and everybody else that's watching this. The young lady who was 20 who was gang raped on Saturday by men in flip-flops. They didn't leave a pool party. They were illegal immigrants. There are four of them. The police have put out a statement saying they don't know who they are yet. The police are lying. The police know this for. They know who they are. And when they arrest them, they're going to turn around and say they're under 18, so they can't be named. The police are lying. Police can come and arrest me if they like. Now is the time for action. Hold them accountable. Illegal migration is killing our country. I'll do another video about that shortly. But I can tell you 100% the police know who the four are. The police will arrest them and claim they're under 18. And they're not. Don't be gaslit. The good people of Epsom, go to the police station, demand justice. And I'm not asking people to riot or take into their own hands, because then I would be held accountable. But what I'm telling you is the police are lying. And if police want to arrest me for stating that, we'll have a court case. And the court case will showcase they're lying. Police are lying. They know who they are. Four of them. So for justice for this young lady. And we have to stop this. We have to stop these politicians fudging with police and stop the whole cycle of this satanic group. They're trying to kill all of us, the good people, invading our country, in Parliament not doing the job, pontificating about all the other things that are not important. It's all theatre. We need to make sure Labour, the Greens and the Dems don't get in next election. It doesn't matter who you vote for, but don't allow them in. Allow them in and we're goosed. We need them out. I don't care whether it's a Forum, Conservatives, whoever it's going to be. It cannot be the Greens, Lib Dems and Labour. Do not let them in. Police and Surrey, you're lying. Four men, illegal migrants, flip-flops. That girl needs justice. And we need to hold you accountable for lying to the public. Malfeasance in office. There'll be a court case coming soon, I'm sure. We'll sue you.
So there you go, Epstein gang rape. And of course, not only is the place where the gang rape occurred, by the way, it was 2 hours long. This woman in her 20s was victimized for 2 hours straight. And somebody, we can go to clip two here as B-roll real quick, because this is a video from UK Sploosh. And what they did was retrace the steps of the Epsom rape victim from the nightclub to the scene of the heinous attack itself. And basically what they are doing is showing that the entire route is covered in surveillance. Every step of the way this woman walked has a CCTV camera covering it. And even the place where the attack happened has a CCTV camera covering it. So it's not possible that they don't have these people's identity. They are lying about that with absolute certainty. I can say that. And that guy's like, you know, I'm not going to say to riot. I am saying to riot. I'm going to say right now, I think rioting is actually the only thing that works. And I'm not just saying that. I'm saying that because it's evident that that's the case. So we can go to the clip I just put in there from Alex Armstrong. Incredible how quickly riot police respond when it's English people gathering. We can go ahead and go to that video, play that as B-roll. And you can see this was the atmosphere at the British people protest. You know, they're standing there politely, but the police are there with their endless ranks of riot police and the riot shields, just hundreds of police officers standing there in formation. We can go to the next one from Russian Garbage Human, also similar look and with a similar title. This video is posted, you know, white people get the full on, you know, militarized response. Meanwhile, and of course nothing happens, right? They get condemned. Anybody that participates in the protest risks jail time. Anybody talking about it could be sent to prison for years over their tweets or Facebook posts. Meanwhile, clip 19 here, this is how Muslims react to police in Britain. Let's watch. So there you go, kicking the police car, saying they're in charge, driving the police out. So I'm not even kidding. The UK police are basically operating on a system that says if the population fights back and attacks them, they leave them alone and let them do whatever they want. If, however, they behave themselves and are respectable and proper, then they will be crushed because they don't fight back. There's a lesson in there. It's a lesson you don't have a long time to learn.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.